The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, but I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace and peace be unto all of you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's been good to see some longtime friends. And some of you that I have not met before, it was good to meet you as well. Gary told me today that I needed to keep this under an hour, so I will do everything I can to accommodate his wishes. You know, we don't hear much in the church anymore about judgment. It's kind of been a lost comment, a lost part of our tradition. And in the church we live in today, you know, God, Jesus has been almost reduced to a therapist or a good friend or an ally, someone we turn to in times of trouble, almost like the fourth member of a Saturday morning foursome. He's our buddy and our pal. But the truth is that the gospel has really two parts to it. And I think much of it was stated in the song we just sang. The first is that God loves us and accepts us and holds us just as we are. And the second part of that is that God loves us enough not to leave us there. He goes to work on us. I have that's what we call sanctification. It's what we understand the Holy Spirit to be doing is working in our lives to transform our lives and to move us in ways to be more like Him. I have a close friend that's become a treasured friend over the years in Houston. He moved to Houston about 4 years before I did. He came in 1975. He was the rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel on Braeswood in the Meyerland area. His name is Rabbi Samuel Karf, and he's a legend in Houston as well as throughout the country. And he recently published a book entitled The Memoirs of an American Rabbi. And he graciously asked me if I would accept a copy of his book. And he sent it to me with an inscription. It has become one of the treasured books in my library. You know, things that become treasures to you are things where you have a personal connection. And anyone I've ever received a book from that had an inscription in it has always held great treasure for me. In that book, he talks about many experiences from his childhood up until this current day. There's one story in the book that just struck me, and I thought about it when I was reflecting on this sermon. Sam was in Jerusalem a number of years ago. He got onto a bus, and he went to some meeting that he had. And when he came back and he got off the bus, he was disoriented. He wasn't quite sure which way he should take to the hotel. Standing off on the side were a group of four or five Hasidic Jewish boys. You can know they're Hasidic. They wore the black hats and they had the curls, so they're Orthodox Jews. And they were joking and laughing. And Sam said to them, "How do I get back to such and such a hotel?" And they all looked at each other and they sort of giggled. And then they pointed, all of them, in a different direction. And Sam said to them, "You know, boys, the Talmud says you are to welcome the stranger and assist him." And the boys went white, ashen white in their faces, because they knew that they had defiled one of the sacred texts of the Talmud. Sometimes we need judgment. Sometimes somebody needs to tell us what's right and what's wrong. When I was an 18-year-old freshman in college at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, was not one of my finer moments. It was homecoming weekend, and we had a statue at Luther of obviously Martin Luther. And we were playing our arch rival, Upper Iowa University, which is about 37, 38 miles away. And word came down that they were in town with paint to paint their school colors on the statue of Martin Luther, which they had done over the history of the school several times. So we were all gathered out there protecting poor Marty. We were all around the statue looking for this car that might have the license plates from Fayette County. And they never showed up. But in the course of the whole conversation, we decided that if they could come down and paint the statue of Martin Luther, why couldn't we go to Upper Iowa and paint their peacock? So six of us got into a car, got some blue and white paint, and drove the 37 miles to Fayette County, to Fayette, Iowa, and we saw this peacock on the wall of their athletic building. We had a can of blue and a can of white paint. Unfortunately, the peacock was 12 feet in the air, and we forgot to bring a ladder. So we said, well, how can we get the, well, we can just throw it. So we took that bucket of white paint and we threw it, and then we took that bucket of blue paint and we threw it, and we even got some on the peacock, but most of it got on the wall. In order to make sure they knew who did it, we left one of our beanies, freshman beanies at the site underneath the peacock. We get back, go to bed, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, got up, and at 10 o'clock we were sitting in the dean of students, in the dean of the students' office, all six of us, being told that we were going to have to appear on Monday before the student, what they called it, conduct committee. Well, the story gets better. My father was on the Board of Regents, and he was the guest preacher for homecoming that weekend. So he arrived on Friday with my mother, and I kept my mouth as shut as I could. With all my great courage, I didn't say a word. And we went through the whole weekend, and Monday it came time for us to appear before the social conduct probation. And we got probation for the rest of the year, and we had to pay for the cleaning of the wall. So that night, I called my parents and told them what had happened. And my dad said, oh, we knew that 5 minutes after we hit campus. It was the story of the weekend. You really did yourself proud. You were the topic of conversation all weekend long. Now, about 3 days later, I got a letter from my father. Now, one of our traditions is that we as Lutherans understand the tension between law and gospel, between the challenges of what it means to be a child of God and the nurturing that comes to us in the Spirit. That comes from the Jewish understanding of Torah and narrative, law and story. My father, in his inimitable way, wrote in this letter a story. He said there was a farmer that had a mule, the most stubborn mule he had ever, and anybody had ever seen. And he drove this farmer absolutely crazy. One day there was a man walking down the road, and he watched as this farmer was having a go at this mule. This mule had sat down in the middle of that field, and he was not moving. He went around, the farmer went around, he grabbed him by the halter, tried to get him to stand up, he wouldn't do it. He screamed at him with several expletives, not what you find in the Bible. And then he got so upset, he went around and he kicked that mule as hard as he could right in the rump, whereupon that mule heeled up and knocked him with both back feet and knocked him clean across the road, where he landed right next to this man who was walking down the road. The man looked down at the farmer, he looked over at that mule, he looked down at that farmer again, and he said, you know what, sir, I admire your zeal, but I don't think much of your common sense. Law and gospel. I admire your zeal, but not much of your common sense. There is good news in this text. The good news is that the fig tree is going to receive some care, that we are cared for and nurtured by the Spirit, and that we are called into this community of faith and baptized not for church membership, but for discipleship. We are called and we are baptized into discipleship. We are called and we are instructed that we should bear fruit. And that fruit is spelled out throughout Scripture. We're to care for the poor. We are to feed the hungry. We are to visit the prisoners. And prison can be a structure and it can also be something inside yourself. And we are to welcome the stranger. These are the precepts of the faith This is what God has put before us, and these are the marks of Christians. We should be known by what we do. There's a phrase that we use at a congregation that I know that says, as we end the service, it goes like this: go in peace, serve the Lord, and let us be a living expression of Christ in the world. Much like the song we just sang. Let us be a living expression of Christ in the world. So I have an assignment for all of you today. And I want you to think about this before you sit down with your family and you eat. But I would like you to think back over your life and ask yourself, who is it in my life that has loved me as I am and has yet challenged me to become what I could be? Was it a coach? Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe a parent. Maybe even a pastor. God puts in our lives people to nurture us and challenge us, to tell us how much we are loved, and to remind us that we have yet to fill out that love. And so, as the writer says, God loves us as we are, but doesn't leave us there. Amen.